Blessed Lord, we bow humbly and gladly at thy feet. We enter into thy courts by faith. By faith we see thee high and lifted up and seated upon the throne of the universe this morning. And as we enter into thy holy courts, we come in the full assurance of faith. We thank thee that we know that we're accepted in the beloved. We can hear by faith thy word saying to us, come boldly. And as we enter thy courts, we come, Lord, depending on the efficaciousness of thy shed blood. And we come to worship thee. We come to command everything that is within us to bless thy holy name and forget not all thy benefits. We come to thank thee again, Lord, for the love that drew salvation's plan, for the grace that brought it down to man, for the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. We thank thee, Lord, for the day that thou didst call us with that effectual call out of darkness into marvelous light. We thank thee that here we are this morning, the living, to praise thee. We bless thee for the liberty we have, that we can come to this house, none daring to make us afraid. We thank thee for all the way that thou hast led us, for all the love and all the grace and all the mercies. Oh God, we should go on thanking thee all day long. And as we enter thy courts with thanksgivings, we come to humbly ask thy blessing on the ministry of this morning meeting. Thou knowest every saint assembled. Thou knowest our down sitting and our uprising. Our thoughts are known, even afar off unto thee. Thou knowest our need this morning. Thou knowest those who are baffled in life, those who are burdened, those who are afraid, those, Lord, who stand at wit's end corner today, and they don't know what way to turn. Thou knowest, Lord, the frame that we live in. Some of us not just as well as we might be. And some, Lord, nearly beaten just because of physical weakness. And thou knowest all about the problems of the business world and the difficulties of one kind and another. And the province we live in and the day, Lord, that is upon us when blood is shed at every street corner and murder stalks our land night after night. And the evil men grow worse and worse. Lord, we need a touch from thee this morning, just a word from thyself. We pray that thou wilt come to thy people today and feed them on the very finest of the wheat, that this day, Lord, we may be comforted and encouraged and strengthened and built up in our most holy faith and edified. Yea, Lord, that our hearts may be warmed and our paces quickened, that there might come a revival touch to this meeting this morning. We think of the old folks who cannot get to this house today. We remember Willie Cordner this morning, George Mahwinney, Miss Wells, and many others, Lord, shut in today. Lord, bless them where they are just now. And we think of all our missionaries, all who have left this assembly, the branches that have gone over the wall. We thank thee for Tom and Ethel returning. We believe that they're somewhere in London just now. We thank thee, Lord, for bringing them home again. We think of Pat Harrison, still in that tight corner in Eritrea this morning. Lord, we commend her very carefully to Thee. We pray that Thou wilt bless her today, that Thou wilt continue to surround her. Oh, Lord, we remember that Thou didst put a hedge round about Job. Lord, we commit her to Thee. We pray that Thou wilt bring her right out of this. And grant, Lord, that Thy great name, even in the doing thereof, may be glorified. We think of Jim and Valerie in France, and David and Molly. And we think of Donald Coulter and Jennifer. And we think of Yvonne here as she goes back soon. Lord, that Thou wilt bless her. That Thou wilt just widen out the road before her. And that Thou wilt overcome all the difficulties. And Thou wilt make her a woman for God. A woman that will do a job for God in days to come. Lord, we think of those who are sick this morning. Think of Douglas White today. Lord, we feel that this young fellow has a long way to go before he'll be just about in his usual. And they need patience. And we pray that Thou wilt give him patience. And we pray that Thou wilt guide the surgeons. And grant, Lord, that even in this case, Thy name shall be glorified. We think of Charlie Blandon this morning. Lord, bless him today. And grant, Lord, as he lies in hospital, that Thou wilt come near and ease his breathing and grant that Thy hand will be upon him for good. We think of Jack Parks this morning. Lord, bless this wee man, and that his brother has gone suddenly into eternity. Lord, we know what this will mean for Jack. We pray that Thou wilt uphold him, that Thou wilt strengthen the feeble knees and hold up the hands that are weak, and that Thou wilt come near and bless him. Think of young Seyford this morning. Lord, give this young man back his faculties, we pray. And we pray that Thou wilt bring him home once again. We think of Jennifer Murphy. Lord, we feel that this young woman is very, very ill indeed. And only a word from Thee can save her. But we leave her in Thy hands. Thou knowest best. We think, Lord, of many more who are laid aside, and who are weak and tired and weary this morning. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt be with each one of them this day. Think of our policemen this morning, and all our security forces. Lord, very carefully, as an assembly in faith this morning, we lift them to Thee again, and we ask Thee to preserve their going out and their coming in throughout another week. We just live this week at a time before Thee with these men. Lord, help them to hear Thee saying, "Fear not, Thou art of more value than many sparrows." And the one whose eye is on the sparrow, Thou wilt be watching over them. Remember our country in these days. Oh God, we go back and forward like men on a chessboard, shifting around and fiddling about. We come to Thee. Lord, Thou who hast been our help in ages past, will You come and help us again? This is our cry this morning. Help, Lord. So we leave us with Thee. Shut us in with Thee today. Make us to know that Thou art here. Bless Cecil tonight and all the others who have gone preaching the gospel this morning. Make this day to be a holy day. Glorify Thy lovely name for Thy name's sake. Amen. 762, please. 762, Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day His sweet voice soundeth, saying, "Christian, follow Me." 762, please. Thank you. Ephesians this morning, chapter 15. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Chapter 15, please. I'm commencing to read at verse 50. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Verse 50 said, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." He's just underlining an impossibility, isn't he? Because when you think of the kingdom of God in its eternal sense, of course, flesh and blood cannot inherit it. Well, I couldn't go to live in eternity just as I am, could I? I'm flesh and blood. I'm a mortal being. So that Paul's just underlining this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. And when we take the word mystery, it cannot be something you just cannot understand. Or there'd be the sense of saying, I show you something you can't understand. And now the word mystery is used in a different sense in the New Testament. Actually, it's something that's revealed, and I mean revealed, something that's shown to us by God. Something that our poor, finite minds would never have thought about on their own. You know about the mystery of godliness, don't you? The mystery of godliness is God was manifest in flesh. You would never have dreamed of that on your own. That the great God who threw the planets into space and who spake and it was done and commanded and it stood fast, you would have never thought that he would have come to this planet and took upon him the form of a servant. Not on your own, you wouldn't. But that's one of the mysteries that was revealed. Now, here's the mystery that Paul's talking about. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. You know, it's wonderful. We believers shall not all die, is the word. But we shall all be changed. Now, that's a great thing, you know. The Lord's coming back one of these days, isn't he? Saints will rise to meet him, those who are alive and remain. And we'll cheat death. And things are moving so fast in the Far East. And all the bluff that Kissinger is getting across, and it's coming out bit by bit. I think he has bluffed both sides. But we don't need to go into that. I think it's telling us that the Lord's return is at hand. I have a feeling I'm one of those creatures that will cheat death. Just fancy not dying at all. And I'm one of those boys who doesn't care what way it goes. If the Lord says you have to fold up today and that's it, I'll say amen. My times are in his hands. What's the use of me singing it if I don't believe it? But I have a sort of secret feeling within me that I'll cheat death. Oh, to live in the light of this. Paul says in verse 52, in a moment, this is the revelation he's trying to get across, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's to show you that it's a literal moment. It's a split second. The word moment is the old Greek word atom. Something that's so small and quick and tiny that you can't sort of split it. That's what they used to think anyway. Just like that. Just like the clap of your hand, just like the twinkling of an eye. And they tell me that when the eye, one down and one up with the eyelid, that's a wink. How will they tell me that one down is a twinkle? So it must be fast. It'll come fast. What a moment it will be. It will be the moment when the saints go marching in.
I can keep Ulster. No other like with it. We'll leave it forever, never to be back again. It will be the moment when the symbols on the table will disappear. They're only here until he comes. Yeah, it will be the moment when we shall see him as he is. We've all had our ideas of what he looks like. What a moment it will be just to see him, really see him. Yes, this is what he's trying to get over to them in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And when you put the word incorruptible there, he must be talking about the dead who died in Christ. But I don't think you use this word for sinners when they're raised. Well, now, these are bodies that were committed to Mother Earth, whose souls and spirits were in love with Jesus. But they're in the dust now. They're in corruption this morning. But this corruptible will put on incorruption one moment. The moment that will be. It says, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, the living saints, shall be changed. You know, he's not only talking about the moment, he's talking about the miracles that will happen at that moment. The dead saints, their bodies will be raised incorruptible, and we, the living saints, will be changed. We'll put on immortality then. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall be put on immortality, then, now watch the wording, so when this thing happens, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And I don't think we should sing it before that. Well, I go to the funeral sometimes, just out of respect, and I hear the minister standing at the top of the grave, and he's shouting at the top of his voice, O death, where is thy sting? Well, the man's dead. I don't think that's the time to shout, so the Bible says. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? And they're filling it in on the body. I don't think he has read this right. You read it over again, just to make sure you know. It says, so when that great mighty moment comes, and the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then, not a second before it, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? You know, if Jesus comes one of these moments, and we believers rise to meet him in the air, we can stop halfway up and look back and say, oh, death, where is your sting? We'll have beaten death. I have a sort of feeling a lot of us in this meeting are going to defeat death. As we rise, we can look back and say, oh, death, where's your sting? And the folks whose bodies were laid in the grave when the bodies are raised, the body will come out, and halfway up they can stop and say, oh, grave, where's your victory now? Let's sing it at the right time. If we would only read, we would get it right. So when this thing happens, then shall the song be sung. He's bringing us to see the moment and the miracles and the melody. It's all there, you know. Yes. And then he says, verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory over sin, over death, over the grave, over everything, through Christ. Oh, Christ's death and Christ's burial and Christ's resurrection and Christ's coming again all spells ultimate and final and perfect victory
Now, the next word on your page is therefore. Because he's going to argue from what has been said. He says, just because the moment lies ahead, dear, just because Christ is coming back, just because we'll be changed, just because we'll rise to meet him in the air, just because we'll defeat death, he says, therefore, just because you know all about this moment that lies ahead, he makes a plea to them, therefore, my beloved brethren. And he says this to them, therefore, just because of this, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. You know, he wants us to grow up a bit. He's talking about maturity in the saints. Wants you to be steadfast. He wants you to be unmovable. He wants you to be always abounding. He's talking about maturity, you know. It's great to grow up that nothing scares you too easily. That you're really steadfast and unmovable and always abounding. But he goes a bit further than that. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. I want to get the little phrase in the work of the Lord. Just in the work of the Lord. Because that's ministry. And I want to talk to you about maturity and ministry this morning. And I want to talk about them both together. You know, this work of the Lord is a mighty phrase. And I really feel, you see, in dealing with the subject honestly, one ought to take the works of the flesh in contrast with the work of the Lord. Because the works of the flesh are these. Works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, and so on. Then time wouldn't allow me to deal with the works of the flesh. And I believe in dealing honestly with the subject, I would need also to deal with the works of the devil. Because our Lord was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And last Sunday morning we were talking about fear. And I pointed out to you that the Lord Jesus destroyed him who had the power of death, that he might deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to the devil. You know, the old devil has brought fear down the ages. Fear of death. Well, I can't deal with the works of the devil, and I can't deal with the works of the flesh. I want to deal with the work of the Lord. And you know, the work of the Lord, it comes before us in this New Testament and in this church age. It comes before us, first of all, in a special sense. Then it comes before us in a general sense. You see, you're bound to know this, that there are special places given to special people who have got special gifts. You know, when the Lord went back to heaven and he formed the church, as we shall find at Pentecost through the coming of the Spirit, he set first in the church gifts, he set the apostles. They were special. They were given specially to the church. And they had special qualities and special signs and special powers. Some people try to imitate them, but I'm afraid they can't just get all the signs in. Then, of course, there were prophets that were given. Not Old Testament prophets, New Testament prophets, who brought to the church on Sunday morning when the church met on the first day of the week. They brought New Testament teaching to a New Testament church when there was no New Testament. It wasn't written then. Well, the church needed church teaching. And the prophets were there, but the apostles and prophets are gone. And the Lord gives pictures today. Mind you, that's a special gift that some folks get. And some of the wee fellows try to take on the job, and they're not able because they haven't got the gift. And they just make a muddle of things, don't they? And they bring confusion instead of blessing. And let's get this quite clear, and don't think I'm shooting at anybody. I'll just say what I want to say. When the Lord went to the church, went to heaven, He gave gifts. He gave apostles and prophets. He gave evangelists. And I tell you, there are some boys who think they can do it. Oh, no, you can't unless you have the gift, son. And to just think that your grandson is an evangelist and take over without the gift. Ah, you're only fooling around. Make sure of that now. And if I'm thumping you, just take it from the Lord. Yes, these are special. These men are put specially into the work of the Lord. They've got special gifts, and you just can't copy them unless you've got the gift. And if you have, it'll make a way for itself. You don't need to beg anybody's vote, you know. Well, you know, we don't want to talk about the work of the Lord in a special sense this morning. That would be very stupid of me to do so in this meeting. We want to talk about the work of the Lord in a general sense this morning. You know, when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, there were just folks like you and I in the assembly. In fact, some of them were carnal, and some of them were critical, and some of them were this and that and the other. But he's talking to them, and he's saying, I want to tell you about the moment when the Lord will come. And after he gets it over, he says, therefore, just because he's coming, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, he wasn't putting that forth in a special sense. That must have been in a general sense, because it took in the whole assembly of the Corinthians, men and women, boys and girls. Because you see, there is a sense in which every believer, whether you're long saved or short saved, or whether you're only saved, you know, you're in the work of the Lord. Yes, there's a sense that you must get that very carefully. You see, when Jude is writing this great epistle, which is only one chapter, but it doesn't make it anything less than great, he says to the saints that he's writing to, earnestly contend for the faith. And you know, the moment that he talks about the saints earnestly contending, he's talking about a Christian being a warrior in the work of the Lord. Let me tell you that earnestly contending for the faith happens to be the work of the Lord. In case you're too timid or think you're too graceful, you couldn't open your mouth to speak up for the Lord. The pity of you, because you're just a lame duck in the army. Oh, no, we've got to earnestly contend, you know. Oh, some folks don't like it when you earnestly contend. You see, when old Soper began to talk about our Lord Jesus and ridiculed him, mind you, I was there when he did it. So was Paisley. And to his credit, he was on his feet in 2 minutes and called him some names, I'll tell you, in a way that he never forgot, I'm sure. I'm telling you that when a man stands up and says that our Lord flirted about with Mary and Martha, it's time you were contending. The Methodists are groaning now, aren't they? They've added nobody to their assembly. Now they're speaking this very week that their ministers will have to take a part-time job to help them out. What else do you expect when you support Soper? After he had come out and said, think about our Lord, they made him president,
Don't you think you can get off of that? If the people think they can get off of that, they must be fools. The God of high heaven will deal with that. And you know, if you're going to just mamby-pamby about and be nice and not stand up and speak, you're not in the work of the Lord in a sense. Hell no, you've got to be a warrior. Well, you don't need to be at war all the time. But there are times when you stand up and be counted, you know. There are times when you stand up. That's the work of the Lord. That's earnestly contending. Wonder, do you remember David's mighty men? Ah, these thrill me. There was one of them called Shammah. And it says the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistine. But Shammah stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistine. That's the thought of boys the Lord looking forward in the work of the Lord. Boys that can stand up and take the sword in their hand and not be afraid of anybody. Let's earnestly contend for the fundamentals of the faith. And the day that any old rip tries to do anything about it, we would need to be counted. Let me tell you now, the Lord's coming. And you've been numbered in the army. You're a warrior. I want you to get this. I think you remember this. You remember when Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, Paul said, pray without ceasing. And you know that comes to every one of us. It's not just a special gift in a special part of the church. Why, the Lord wants all of us in the prayer business. You see, the moment that we earnestly contend, we become a warrior in the work of the Lord. And the moment that we see the wonder and the opportunity and the privilege and the power of prayer, you know, we become a priest in the work of the Lord. You know, Samuel, when he was talking to Saul, he said this to him. You remember that Saul had done so many things wrong. Samuel said unto the people, fear not, you've all done this wickedness. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. You know, I've had a long experience. And I know there are times when people, somehow or some other, I don't know why, they come into the prayer meeting and they nearly lift the roof off. And you can't stop them. But somehow they fade out. Hugh Orr used to talk about lemonade Christians. He says, when you shake the bottle, it fizzes. You couldn't get the top off. It would blow the top off. I'll set it on the shelf for a minute or two. He says, it soon cools down. Is that what you are doing in the work of the Lord? You just come once in a while to the prayer meeting. You know what's been happening? The enemy has moved you. You're not steadfast. You're not unmovable. You're not always abounding. You're shut up now. And we're in the last day. When you sit with your mouth shut and the enemy blasts the Lord. You know, the old enemy has moved you. You're afraid of getting shot. You're not a warrior. We're talking about the work of the Lord in a general sense. You need to come to pray, you know. We're in the last days, the very last days. The therefore is there. Let's come and pray. And I want you to get this, you know. When Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, you would think this was just said to a few wee fellows.
And you know, it's applied to the whole church of Jesus Christ. You know, we're all to put our nose in the book. We're all to attend unto reading. We're all to meditate in this book day and night. But you know, the real fact is that this part of the work of the Lord in getting down at His feet and hearing His word, it's not being practiced. You have been moved from it. You're at the TV or something. You're not reading the book, is that right? You've been moved.
Because that happens to be the work of the Lord.
Yes, being a warrior is the work of the Lord. Yes, being a prayer warrior is the work of the Lord. Yes, being a student of the book, sitting down and listening to His word, is work of the Lord in a general sense. And you know, the old enemy has nearly won through here. David can say in that 119th Psalm, and those of us who have been in the prayer meeting have been thrilled with it, again and again he would say, "Thy word, Thy word, Thy word, Thy word have I hid in my heart. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Thy word is sure from the beginning." And he goes on saying, thy word, he must have been at it. You at it? That's the work of the Lord. And you see, standing up and speaking out when the Lord wants you to, and getting down and praying through, and sitting down low and listening to His voice, it's all the work of the Lord. And the enemy has made such an attack upon the young and old believers that some of us, we're steadfast no longer. You can't be counted on. You've been moved from standing up. You've been moved from praying. You've been moved from reading. And the Lord's coming. Time we attended to this and get this thing put right. You know, when Jesus said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." Well, you would know right well that that was the work of the Lord, wouldn't you? You know, there are so many ways of witnessing. Oh, you can witness just by your life. I had a woman in that little vestry some time ago, lovely lady, crying just at the end of one of the Sunday evening meetings. And I said to her, "What really moved you, madam, in this meeting this evening?" "Nothing you said," she said. "Let me be blunt about it." She says, "I'm working in an office with a woman, and she lives for God every day. And I only need to look at her, and I only need to listen to her, and to know there's such a thing as salvation." Ah, yes, it wasn't my preaching. It was somebody living. You working at this? You in the work of the Lord? Do they know in the office just who you are and whom you serve? You see, witnessing is the work of the Lord. Yes, warfare is the work of the Lord. Praying is the work of the Lord. Yes, studying is the work of the Lord. Yes, witnessing is the work of the Lord. Let me put one more in. I can put a dozen in, but I'll take one. Suffering is the work of the Lord. Because you might be called to suffer, says Peter, according to the will of God. And if you're called to suffer according to the will of God, you might have to suffer wrongfully, Peter says. A friend, are you suffering? Can you just take it and go on? If somebody put your name apart, can you get down on your knees and smile? Oh, let's hear the Lord this morning. He's just looking down at this little assembly. I feel as if he were standing here and he's looking at each one of us.
Just forget about me. I've got to get in among you now somewhere. And he's looking at all of us and he's saying, now look you. I'm coming soon. There's a big town lying round here. I've got enemies. They'll tear my name apart. You'll need to stand up for me. You've got children and you've got mothers and fathers. And if you want to see them saved, you'll have to get down on your knees. I've given you a book, and you'll have to not lock it away and read the telegraph and watch the TV. You'll have to come to the book. You're my witnesses in Lurgan. You may have to suffer for me. I call you to suffer. Let's get at that warfare. And praying, and studying, and witnessing, and suffering happen to be the work of the Lord. And what the devil wants is to take away your steadfastness. You know how easy it is on Thursday evening to come home tired and the fire's good. Oh, well, that's what the devil wants, you to sit in the corner. You know how easy it is when a band of men is round you and you know I need to stand up for the Lord here to shut your mouth and be sort of decent. You think they're decent. You're not decent. You're a coward. Hear him saying again, I'm coming soon. The moment is just ahead. Maybe this week, maybe only another week to go. Be ye steadfast. Unmovable. Always abundant. Don't let them hem you in. In the work of the Lord. And when he comes, he rewards you. God bless you. Eight 115, please. 8:15. Go labor on, spend and be spent, thy joy to do the Father's will. It is the way the master went. Should not the servant tread its fit?
Thank you.
on into this week believing that thou art coming soon. That any moment of this week it may be the moment. That the miracle will take place. We shall rise to meet thee and be changed. Lord, there's so much to be done. Realize that we're warriors. We're in a mighty warfare. Help us to fight a good fight this week. Lord, bring us back to our knees to pray the way the early church prayed. And, oh Lord, take us back to this book to open its pages and hear thee speaking in a still, small voice. Help us to be shining lights, to witness for thee in this dark world of sin. Lord, if we must suffer and suffer wrongfully, then thy grace will be sufficient. Take us out, Lord, to be occupied in the work of the Lord, to the glory of thy name. Part us now, bless those who must go, stay with those who stay. Make this a day of blessing for thy name's sake. Amen.